Welcome back to our series, Minor Prophets, Major Truths. Each week in this series, we're going to look at one of the 12 minor prophets, and we're going to learn one major truth from each prophet. So far in this series, we've already looked at Hosea and Joel, and today we turn our attention to Amos. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Amos. He's from a little town called Tekoa, which is about 6 miles south of Bethlehem and 10 miles from Jerusalem. Amos earned his living not as a prophet, but as a shepherd and as a gardener who worked with the sycamore fig trees. Amos was not a professional prophet, but he was a contemporary of Hosea. He was born and lived in Judah, that's the southern kingdom, but he was sent by God to prophesy to the northern kingdom, the one we call Israel, and he was sent specifically to Bethel. And one of the reasons he's sent to Bethel is Bethel was the religious center of the northern kingdom, Israel, and he has some words to say regarding their religion and their worship. Now, Amos was a spokesman for God, and he spoke about God's justice and righteousness. Now, if you remember Hosea from a couple of weeks back, Hosea emphasized God's love and forgiveness. But Amos declares that God is going to judge his unfaithful, disobedient people of Israel. And so Amos speaks against the low moral condition of the people, and especially against their worship of idols, as they have rejected the one true God, Yahweh, Jehovah. So today I want to take you to Amos chapter 7. And here we're going to find the vision of the plumb line. So I don't know if you've noticed behind me, this is a plumb line. A plumb line is used in building to make sure things are straight. And Amos has a vision of the plumb line. And his vision is recorded for us in chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. And it says this. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people, Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." This is the vision that Amos saw. And if we're to describe it, he sees God standing by a wall that is built true to plumb. That means it's perfectly straight. And God is holding a plumb line in his hand. And the plumb line is there to measure what is true and straight. The plumb line is the measuring tool that builders would use to make sure everything was lined up correctly. And through this picture, God is illustrating something. He is saying, "Israel, I find you wanting. Israel, I find you out of plumb. I find that you are no longer straight. Israel is deviated from God's ways." Israel at that time was a prosperous nation. Rich, successful, but they were in bad shape spiritually and morally. Does any of that sound familiar to you? See, Hosea has already showed us that Israel chased after other lovers and Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping the idols, the false gods. And Amos is telling us the same or similar thing. Amos is saying, Israel has the look of religion, but no intimate relationship with God. Israel was proud. Israel was oppressing the poor and exploiting the needy. Isn't it amazing that a description of a society about 3,000 years ago sounds very much like the society we're living in today? We live in a prosperous society, but one that is spiritually bankrupt. Many people think of their own brand of spirituality, Well, I just find God in my own way. I just have my own spiritual self. I just, you know, follow my own path in my own way, and everything's going to work out good. You mean all roads lead to God, and that is utter falseness. That is untrue. There is only one God, and there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, his Son. But God is telling us in this vision that he's holding the plumb line. He's holding the measuring stick, and he's the one who determines whether we are straight and plumb or if some way we've lost our way. God is the one who determines his standards. This vision is to show the people of Israel that in comparison to God's standards, in comparison to the plumb line of God, they are found lacking. They are not living by God's laws. The laws that he had given his people through Moses, they are deviated from them. God's standards are true and straight, and they are not living right in God's eyes. Remember, Israel is God's people, his children. He called them to be his children. He made them his nation. He chose them when he chose Abraham and his descendants. And he said, you will be my people and I will be your God. I will be your only God. But Israel has deviated away from that. If we were to back up in Amos to chapter 2, verse 6, Amos there, in the first couple chapters, rather, Amos is describing some of the judgments against the nations, and he brings it all the way to Israel. He ends with Israel. He's pulling the people in. And in chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, this is what Amos declares from the Lord. He says, this is what the Lord says. For three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not relent. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as on the dust of the ground and deny justice to the oppressed. Father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. In the house of their God, they drink wine taken as fines. See, Amos provides a warning to Israel. God is warning Israel that he sees their sins. For three sins, yes, even for four. God is not saying these are the only things. God is highlighting the major areas of society that they are failing in following him. And God is saying, I will not tolerate it much longer. God's desire is that they would turn from their sin. God wants to allow them a chance to repent. He wants them a chance to understand their wrong and their sin and turn away from it and walk in righteousness. He wants them to repent so that he could turn his wrath away from them. See, God's desire is that they would not walk in sin, but that they would follow his laws and his ways. See, God outlines three major areas of sin in Israel's society, and we just read them. But I'll highlight them for you real briefly. He said there was sins of oppression, injustice, and ritual spirituality. Let's look at oppression for a minute. He said words like, they sell the innocent for silver, the needy for a pair of sandals. See, they mistreated the poor. They were only concerned with their wealth and their personal comfort. They exalted profit over people. The love for the neighbors and respect for the poor have long been forgotten and lost. There was oppression, which leads to injustice. They trample on the heads of the poor. They deny justice to the oppressed. God had provided the guidelines for his people to live by. He designed a way that the poor would never have to go hungry. But Israel, in their pride, in their arrogance, and in their riches, had forgotten the things that God had taught them under Moses. See, God had designed it so all, rich and poor, would all be treated with fairness and compassion at all times. God had designed that they must There must be a commitment for them to do what is right by everyone and to everyone. Then there's ritualistic religion. It said they lie down beside every altar. See, they had a religious behavior that made it look like they were religious. And some even thought they were religious to God, or they were honoring God, but they were doing the exact opposite. Everything they did was in opposition to who God is. Everything they did is opposite what God told them to do or not to. See, in the vision of the plumb line that we looked at in chapter 7, there's the mention of high places. It's a reference to the religious sites that were devoted to idol worship, specifically the worship of the Canaanite gods like Baal. See, God was telling Israel that although they appeared to be religious, they were actually very far from God. So God is warning Israel that if they do not turn from their sin and their selfishness, then he will be forced to deal with their wrongdoing because their sin could not go unpunished. And God is giving them a warning because he wants them to see their sin, to repent of their sin and change the way they were living. Now, we look at these warnings from God, and maybe our first reaction is, well, how could God be so stern? How could he be so angry? But remember, God has been patient. He's been waiting and warning them for a long time, and they have not been listening to him. But what we need to understand today, Israel needed it then, but we need to understand it today, is God's warnings are actually his kindness at work. You see, God's warning is an act of grace. As a righteous God, he would have been in his full authority to exercise judgment, but instead, he shows grace. He was patient. He provides warning after warning, prophet after prophet, to get the people to pay attention so they could repent and change their ways. See, God had been tolerating the sin of Israel for a long time. He has given them time to repent and change. And even now, as he sends the warnings through Amos with a word, it's not a word of immediate doom. See, God will give Israel an opportunity to change their ways, to repent, to avoid his wrath. We heard last week, when we looked at Joel in Joel 2:13, these very important words, these words find their meaning right through Scripture. Starts way back in Exodus and keeps popping up. And God says this, "Render your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." See, God is gracious and compassionate to you. God is gracious. He extends his grace. He holds back his wrath and his judgment as long as possible. He is slow to anger. God is giving you time. God warns us and holds off his judgment as long as possible because he prefers that you and I would repent, turn from sin, and walk in the righteousness that he has for us. See, God would rather that you lined up to his plumb line. So God's warning is an act of grace. Another thing is God's warning is an act of love. In Amos 2:11, we find these words, "I also raised up prophets from among your children and Nazarites from among your youths. Is this not true? The people of Israel," declares the Lord. "But you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets not to prophesy. Now then, I will crush you as a cart crushes when loaded with grain." See, these verses tell us more about the wrongdoings of the people of Israel. See, they had forced the Nazarites to drink wine. Now, you read that, and if you don't understand the Nazarites, it won't mean anything to you. But Nazarites were men who specifically dedicated themselves to God. And in their vow of dedication, they were to never cut their hair and never drink wine. But the people forced them to drink wine. The people made it such that they could not live in their dedication to God. And then they quieted the voices of the prophets. They commanded them not to prophesy. See, the people of Israel showed their insensitivity to God by the way they treated the prophets and the Nazarites. And then God says in strong language, I will crush you. I will bring judgment on you. He says, like an object being crushed under the wheels of a heavy cart as it crushes the ground and everything in its path. But God is still giving them time. In fact, God gave them another 40 years after Amos's warning before he would bring judgment. He wasn't quick to, it wasn't immediate doom. God, in his love, was giving them a time and a chance to repent and change. But they did not heed the warning. They eventually fell to the Assyria and they were carried away into exile. See, understand this. Judgment is never God's choice. It's our choice. See, God is giving ample opportunity for people to repent, to turn their lives and love him. But instead, we often choose to ignore him. When we ignore God, we eventually bring judgment on ourselves. We blame God, but really, it's our fault. God warns us, and we don't pay attention. God warns us, and we don't listen. God warns us, and we don't heed it. See, God doesn't want to bring judgment. In fact, Jesus said in John 3:17, these are very important words, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, Jesus tells us he didn't come to bring judgment and condemnation. He came for the opposite reason, to bring salvation. And God gave Israel many chances. They ignored him. And God gives us many chances because he loves us. God speaks to warn and to guide us. Are we listening? Even the psalmist said, the Lord is slow to anger and rich in love. You need to heed God's voice. God's warning is an act of love. It's not an act of vengeance. It's not an act of judgment and harshness. Each time that you are convicted by the word of God, you need to heed it. You need to pay attention to what it says. You need to listen and obey and live by God's word. Every time God gives you an opportunity, don't put it off, or you might find that you've run out of time, and it could be too late. The book of Amos speaks to us today, especially in the culture that we are living in. Amos expresses God's outrage against a society that has become insensitive to justice. A society that is materialistically driven, where they exalt profit over people. And we live in a society that resembles the Israel of Amos's day. Amos helps us to review our own values, to stop and look and pay attention. And maybe we need to ask ourselves, do our lifestyles reflect the heart of God? Do we share in the selfish heart of Israel of Amos's day? See, the vision of the plumb line is important. We need the plumb line so that we could know what is true and straight. We need the plumb line so we could align ourselves to God's standards. The Bible is our call to return to God and live for him. The Bible is the revelation of God. It's who he is. It's what his will and his ways are. It's laid out. It's described to us. It's given to us. And we are called to follow him and be like him. Take a good look at the plumb line. I'm not talking about this plumb line. I'm talking about the plumb line that God is holding. And as God holds a plumb line to your life, ask yourself, am I off plumb? Am I straight or am I off plumb? Am I living according to God's plumb line or am I a little bit off kilter? And not only check it today, but check it tomorrow, check it often, check it daily. Align your ways to God's ways so that God's will and God's plan for your life is the way that you will walk in your life. Maybe you're listening today and you've never thought about how your life lines up to who God is. But today, the picture of the plumb line hopefully has you thinking. Today, you realize that you are not living right, that you are not living according to what God has prescribed us to live. We are not living in the ways that God wants us to live. Today, I want you to understand that you need to live according to God's laws. And as a church, we want to help you with that. We don't just want to give you a message, but we want to help you to understand what is God's plumb line and how can you walk in a way that pleases God? How could you heed God's warnings today, repent in your heart, and live for God with the rest of your life? If you want us to help you with that, if today you're saying, I want to follow Jesus, I want to follow God, I ask you to pick up your phone and text us the word love at 416-267-1189 and then quickly follow the prompts that are there. We will in turn will reach out to you because we want to help you walk plumb to God's plumb line. Remember, God is not here to condemn you, but to save you. But the choice is yours. See, God is serious with you. Are you serious with Him? God warns you because He is gracious. God warns you because He loves you. God warns you because He is the only true hope you could ever have. Would you pray with me? Father, we just come to you. We thank you for Amos's visions and Amos's words. Lord, they were a word delivered to Israel in its time, and it was so appropriate and so right on. But God, your word is everlasting. And not only was it a word for Israel, but it's a word for us. Help us, Lord, to see the plumb line of God and help us to walk straight and plumb. Help us to know you and to follow you. Help us to turn away from things that are wrong and hurt you. Help us to be the true example of your love and your light in this world. And for those today who have decided for the very first time they want to follow you, Father, I ask that by your Spirit you would help them, that you would encourage them, and you would teach them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.